and we're essentially in the problem-solving business. And I really see art as a long-term investment in making us as a city more creative and better problem solvers. Or as Apple says, it helps us to think different. So in summary, I think that public funding for the arts is really critical to both the livability of the city of Portland as well as Portland's leadership in the global economy. So thank you so much for your continued public support of the arts.
Thank you all very much. Really appreciate it. Now I'd like to invite up Don Lincoln, Multnomah County Juvenile Services, going to talk about the mural program. Kelly Williams, artist, to talk about arts and addiction services and the sort of the perspective of individual artists. And then Jessica Jarrett from the Creative Action Network to talk about public funding for the arts and the unmet needs. Welcome, Mr. Lincoln.
Thank you. Welcome this morning. And I really appreciate the privilege of being here this morning. And as you said, I'm from Multnomah County Juvenile Department, and I work with R.V. Smith with the Measure 11 project that we have there, working with our long-term Measure 11 youth. And it's been a very positive experience for our youth as well as our families that come to our facility. It opens up the doors for new avenues and ideas that they can have some success after some of the challenges that they've had in their lives. And we know we've encouraged them to recognize that there is life after, you know, taking care of their responsibilities for the mistakes that they made. And so we truly encourage them, and this project has been very, again, impactful for them because they're very talented youth that come to our facility. I've been there 20 years, and I've seen a number of very artistic young men and women, and that this program has been very beneficial for our youth. It builds esteem, self-worth, hope, and Arby's been instrumental in bringing out some of those fine artistic talents that they have. It also has helped to change some of their attitudes. They look at their behavior, and my staff and I, we get a chance to see this transformation of our youth over up to a year's period of time in some cases. And so it's been really, really positive for us. For me, I also get an opportunity to share my experience, strength, and hope with them in terms of the art that's opportunities that I've had in my life, and also family members that are very noted in this community. My father-in-law, Sweet Baby James, is a noted jazz musician.
He is indeed. He was just here in City Hall.
Yes, he was. And this is the kind of stuff that we help just share with them, that there, you know, there's opportunities and possibilities. My wife also is a jazz singer that sings with Tom Grant and Ron Steen, Phil Baker in times. And so, again, it helps them to see that folks that are working with them that look like them, that can, it really help them to appreciate that there is still hope. Also, Charlotte Lewis, the late Charlotte Lewis, is a relative of mine as well. So
you hang out with good people.
I do, and I get to share that experience with them. You know, in addition to the fact that RV has also had a relationship, you know, with Charlotte, and we also talk about, you know, the things that and challenges that they've had in their lives and in their careers. And so we really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you for all your great partnership. We really appreciate it and your support.
Sure. Thank you.
Ms. Williams.
Yes. Hello. My name is Kelly Williams, and I'm an independent working artist here in Portland. I received a community project grant from RAC this last year. First, let me say thank you, both the City Council for allowing me to speak, and RAC, and so many local businesses that have been so supportive over this last year. To put it simply, I had a vision of using art as a powerful and dynamic healing tool. This vision has been given life in a project called Recovery Pains. I am privileged that this project will be on display here at City Hall. Matter of fact, you all walked past it on the way in, and I hope you'll engage with it on the way out. And Recovery Pains is focused on those whose lives have been affected by addiction. People from all walks of life were given the opportunity to create and share a story to help facilitate in their healing. Participants created a small artwork, and that was representative of their personal experience, strength, and hope. And by using encaustic, which is a molten beeswax medium, it has damar and pigment in it, and it has to be heated and torched, very, very physical. They're able to layer, hide, expose, and carve. They really honestly dig deep into their work, and it becomes a wonderfully cathartic, physical experience of letting go of control, creating beauty from pain. And after they create their artwork, they reflected in writing on their art piece, pulling together their experience with addiction in relationship to the creative process. Many were able to make powerful associations between the physical aspects of their artwork and their personal story. It's in this form of self-expression that their personal experiences were honored, not just for them, but by the viewers of the project who thought they were isolated in the tragedy of addiction. For many participants, it was truly the first time they'd shared their story, and they were only willing to do this because they felt that by doing so, that they could possibly help someone else. The empowerment experienced by these artists was absolutely humbling for me. I'd like to share just one of the reflections that was done, and you'll see this piece out there. And this person wrote, "Addiction changed me from a kind, loving friend and family member into an angry, powerless loser. It isolated me from the surrounding world. As my friends watched me destroy myself, you become obsessed with the thing that you are addicted to. A sick voice in your head tells you that life will be okay as long as you can have that one thing that you obsess over. Your friends and family constantly worry. They see the change in behavior, the transformation from the person you were born to be and the person that your addiction wants you to be. The light at the end of the tunnel slowly fades, but is always present. I guess the one good thing I can say about addiction is that it's never too late to escape from it." So addiction is also a part of my personal story, and it's a significant disease. It permeates our society on every level. The effects are not limited to the user, but affect friends, family, coworkers, and truly our community as a whole. I didn't have to turn anyone away for not qualifying. I was able to work with a diverse population. I worked from kids as young as 9 to the elderly. They didn't tell me how old they were, but I'm going to go with we were pushing 80 on a few. I worked with homeless youth from Pear, from outside in. I worked with immigrants. I worked with high school kids from Beaverton at the Arts and Communication Magnet Academy. I worked with unemployed people to the extremely affluent. Some people had 30 years of sobriety, and one man I helped was still shaking from the withdrawals of heroin addiction. When reading the stories and viewing the art, the lines between age and class, race, it all disappears. Addiction is a non-discriminatory disease. One participant described the experience this way in creating her artwork. "One of the things I loved about this project was how fast creating the panel happened, how I felt while creating the panel, reflective, nurtured by engaging in the process itself. It made me feel successful, as perhaps someone able to capture my emotional connection to addiction in a visual piece. The healing was palpable in that moment." For the installation, all the art panels or panes have been arranged in windows, creating a larger work of art. This was done because we do not exist in isolation, but in communities, relationships, and families. In the combination of our stories, it creates a larger, communally relevant experience. And the response writings are paired with their art in an accompanying catalog so they can really get in depth with each of the art pieces. And there are several outside that you can engage with. They're also magnetically attached into the windows, and they're movable. I want you to touch them. These people have tried to touch you with their stories. I'd like you to touch them back. And engage, rearrange the panels. create a variety of changing combinations and views of these stories. And I believe that this interactive experience will symbolize how, as a community, we do have the power to connect and even change our perspective on addiction. There's immense emotion and pain poured into these artworks. There's also immeasurable healing and hope. This project does not end with the creation or the exhibition of the art. It will continue to help others discover the path of recovery is a possibility. The Recovery Pains catalog is already in classrooms, places of recovery, and businesses, in individual homes. And it's opening up a dialogue that can only help lead to healing and hope. You know, most of all, I'd like to thank RAC and the City of Portland once again for making it possible for me to provide a safe venue both for these stories to be told and to be heard. I really believe the individual artist has the power to change lives by resourcefully sharing their skills with others. And because RAC funds the individual artist, the possibilities are endless in finding creative ways for us to engage in important issues with innovative solutions. The ripples are truly endless. So as you walk out today, please engage in the installation and maybe even consider asking yourself how addiction has impacted your life. So thank you.
Well done. Very well done.
That was so beautiful. Do I really have to
go? Ms. Jarrett, can you top that?
No, I cannot. Good morning. I'm Jessica Jarrett. It's so great to see you all here. This is exciting. I haven't had the opportunity to sit in front of all of you before. I am the executive director of the Creative Advocacy Network, and I'm here because your investments in the arts have made such a profound and resonant impact. We want to thank you. You've enabled beautiful and unique expressions of culture and creativity. You've expanded the educational opportunities for my children, for all of our children. You've fueled the microeconomies of neighborhoods. You've created jobs, and you've seeded the growth of the creative sector, which is so important to our city's future. We are here today to thank you in the best way we know how, which is in mass, and we are in mass. Your leadership and investments have not only shaped the city, they have sparked a movement, the CAN movement, to finally, after 16 years of vision, establish a new, stable, dedicated funding stream, public funding stream for the arts in our region. This funding stream will exponentially amplify your generous investments. These critical new funds are important because they will increase access to arts and culture for every resident. They'll make free arts and music programming for every school-aged child, in classrooms and in communities. And they will strengthen our highest quality arts and cultural institutions, allowing Portland to finally reach our cultural and creative capacity. While creative endeavors and artisan communities need little encouragement to thrive here, without a significant increase in public funding for the arts, our children are facing a public education that is nearly devoid of art and music, while income and geography limit arts and culture access for thousands of residents. While the unmet needs are striking, the benefits of investing in arts and culture are even more compelling. Every public dollar invested in a nonprofit, arts, or cultural organization is matched 11-fold by ticket sales and private philanthropy. And in our region alone, those same institutions generate $318 million every year in jobs, in revenue, and in spending. Studies have also shown that arts aren't just good for business, they're good for our kids. They inspire them and they keep them in school. Kids who are involved in the arts are 4 times more likely to be recognized for their academic achievement, 4 times more likely to be in a math or science fair, and 3 times more likely to be elected to school office and to go on to become a commissioner or mayor in our city.
There are exceptions.
On track to double our base of support for the 3rd year in a row, CAN has generated tremendous momentum and made groundbreaking progress towards the establishment of this stable new funding stream for the arts. Last year alone, more than 93 arts, business, civic, and business leaders collaborated to create an innovative Tri-County Arts Investment Plan. More than 645 people attended public meetings and filled out surveys to help us focus our efforts, and nearly 3,000 new supporters signed on to join the movement. With our 3rd round of polling happening this month, CAN has charted our course for a new public fund for the arts, and we cannot wait to celebrate our success with you in 2020.
Thank you.
thanks to your visionary investment, CAN will soon ensure that all of our children and all of their children will experience the economic and educational benefits of access to the arts, no matter what their income level or neighborhood. We are so grateful to you. And to express our gratefulness in conclusion of this State of the Arts report, we have a very special thank you gift to present. Diane Circle of the Oregon Ballet Theater is going to lead us in song.
Will the city council please mute their microphone?
I paint, I do not sing.
Except for Commissioner Saltzman.
Arts for all, divinity at play. It's who we are, it's how we grow. The arts will light the way. Arts, arts, arts for all, divinity at play. It's who we are, it's how we'll grow. The arts will light the way.
Arts, arts, arts for all, divinity at play.
For all,
where we are, it's how we'll grow.
Arts, arts, arts for all, creativity at play. It's who we are, it's how we'll grow. The arts will light the way. Arts, arts, arts for all, creativity at play. It's who we are, it's how we'll grow. The arts will light the way.
Yeah! Nicely done. Thank you all very much. Has anyone signed up to testify?
No one else signed up.
Okay, so I would move acceptance of the annual report from the Regional Arts and Cultural Council. Been moved and seconded. Carla, would you please call the vote?
Fritz? Well, thank you all for being here this morning. A particular welcome to our guests from Rochester, New York. I lived on Genesee Street for 4 years while nursing at Strong Memorial Hospital, and it's really great to know that the good-hearted people of Rochester are joining the good-hearted people of Portland in celebrating arts and culture. I'm also particularly grateful to the teacher from Woodlawn Pre-K for reminding me of some of my memorable grade school experiences. I don't really remember particular classes from spelling or arithmetic other than the memory of struggling on them in the tests. But I do remember the puppet play where I was Lucy in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And I remember listening to Eleanor Rigby with the Beatles song, and having the teacher have us write about what that meant to us. So those are just two examples of how the work that you're doing does touch lives and hearts and minds. And I'm particularly grateful for your emphasis on equity and your recognition that this endeavor speaks to us all. And I celebrate the progress that you've made as the Regional Arts Commission and Regional Arts and Culture Commission, and the fabulous turnout here today of people giving up your Wednesday morning to come into City Council, all of the extra work that's being done in corporations and businesses and fundraising, and it's all the community coming together to recognize how important this is, and I think that that does give me a lot of pause for thought as we look at the Equity Office and how to celebrate human rights and equity in every aspect of our society here. So thank you very much. Thank you, Mayor Adams, for your leadership on this work. Carrie Clark and Jennifer Yocum in your office have done amazing work, and I'm very proud to be a part of it. Aye.
Fish.
Well, this is one of my favorite presentations every year, and it seems like you keep lifting the bar. I love the annual report and the sort of clarity of the message and the PowerPoint, which I intend to liberally borrow some PowerPoints I have to do and some other bureau work coming up. And, you know, whether it's through my housing bureau or my parks bureau or through the Oregon Cultural Trust, we're proud partners in your work. And the one thing, Eloise, that I'll call out in your annual report is you have a picture of R.V. Smith, and he's doing a mural at the Multnomah County Juvenile Justice Center. And he's involved with a program also with Barry Sanders, who's from PNCA. And what they have learned is that by bringing art and literacy skills into a detention facility with young people that are headed for dead ends, there's an enormous drop in recidivism for the kids that learn how to write and read and engage in art. It's just that simple. So yet another sort of practical benefit of what you folks are trying to do. The chart that shows the increase in public funding is a result of 2% for the art and from the appropriation process. And the mayor has been leading that effort. So, Sam, congratulations. And as a council, we're proud to be supporting your work. Every time we pick up the paper, we read about some proposed federal cut and some significant change at the federal level. And I guess increasingly there's the feeling we cannot control the cuts that are coming down the pike that are going to influence everything we do. And that makes it all the more important that we seize the initiative locally and invest in the regional strategy. So thank you all for your good work. And, Mayor, thank you for your leadership. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, the reason I was late, I was on OPB's Think Out Loud show talking about sex trafficking, minor sex trafficking this morning. And it's interesting to me and my experience on this issue to see how many women have embraced art as a way of coping with the experience of being trafficked or being prostituted. And in fact, there is a network formed with people in City Hall being some of the instigators that have really brought together these women so that they can express their creativity. And I think some of them even sell their art. But I think it sounds a lot like the recovery pain, which I'll be sure to look at. But I do think the way, you know, I'm particularly supportive of the arts, but particularly the way we can reach out to people who have had difficult lives and maybe have had no exposure to the arts and suddenly can find a way to express feelings and to, once you can express feelings, you can begin the road to overcome those feelings and to become a more productive person, both in your personal and your professional lives. So I just want to say great job to RAC and CAN for all you're doing, and keep it up. Aye.
Leonard?
Well, we certainly had quite a theme here today. The first presenter this morning, unrelated to you guys, talked about a CD that the David Douglas students produced of music. Then we had Neil Young's excellent rendition of Heart of Gold sang. And then we got to completely ruin Arts for All. In our own rendition here, but this has been really very enjoyable, and it's been a very powerful presentation that I've appreciated. Aye.
Adams.
Did you? Okay. Well, I just want to underscore this is a city council priority, and every single person up here, whether it's Nick's service down in Salem, lobbying for this funding on the state legislative level, to Randy taking a special interest in jazz and the blues of music of the city, and everyone else up here has been stalwart in their support of the arts. And I feel like we've only just begun to realize our potential in terms of Portland and Greater Portland as a place of really interesting, provocative, soothing, all of that, arts and culture. So thank you for that. Thanks to the great leadership of the Regional Arts and Cultural Council and the great team and the great leadership of the Creative Advocacy Network. Also, it gives me an opportunity to thank Jennifer Yoakum on my staff that served as the Arts and Culture Director for the Mayor's Office, who's now been replaced because she got booted upstairs, been replaced by Carrie Clark. Where's Carrie? Oh, right in front of us, who's going to play us a video during the break. And I'd like to join in everyone in welcoming Karen Brooks to the team, the Arts and Culture team. So thank you. And remember, Portland, tomorrow, eat at Burgerville. Mm-hmm. Aye. All right. We'll watch this video, and then you're welcome to leave. Or if you want to stay, you're welcome to stay.
Sam, we can take a couple-minute break.
Yep. Is there audio as well? This guy?
Yeah, that should be
Let's check.
Is it in the right one?
Let's find out.
So you got to start over.
Yeah. The audio doesn't seem to be...
Make sure the laptop audio is up. Sometimes you know it's muted.
great, beautiful, inspiring even, but you're really hard to get to know.
Was done in-house or with volunteer efforts, so thank you. We'll take a quick 3-minute break.
Sam.
Hey, how are you?
You are? Hi, how are you? I'm Sam.
All right, everybody smile. Look surprised.
You guys sit?
All right.
Great. Thank you for the gift. That's fantastic. It's beautiful. A friend of mine is in Rochester today, and he sent me a photograph.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I love the way
it is. Is it warm weather? Yeah. Well, enjoy. Glad you're here.
That's what I'm remembering. That's okay. No, that's what people are.
Just moved, so I don't have official business cards, but that's my info.
Excellent.
And I meant that sincerely, that you know, any time that we can be part of any conversation as a new office gets off the ground,
yes.
Whatever.
Absolutely. Yes, I agree that.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah.